path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Have you ever just wondered why you're going down the path you're going and you just want to throw it away and start all over again? Or at least do it differently. Do you have a dream that's deep inside of you, but for somehow life's getting in the way and you just don't see yourself ever living your dream? Well, I am excited to have my guest today, Kate Yanov, join us. She has done what most of us dream of. She went from that corporate world to leaving her home and her comfort zone and moving to Hawaii that called her, and then going out on her own and away from the corporate life. She's a world traveler, an amazing, absolutely amazing inspiration. Kate, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for all the kind words leading into the intro.
Well, honestly, Kate, I look at you and, you know, you and I have known each other for a little while, and you truly decided to chuck it all, but you didn't do it all at once. Give our audience a little bit of background of how you went from that corporate world to uprooting yourself to Hawaii.
Sure. I think we've known each other for about a little over four years now. And before that, I was working for a startup company in Silicon Valley. And if anybody knows the pace or the stress that comes along with either of those things, you're on this kind of fast track. You're commuting a lot. Your life is hectic. Everything revolves around work. You don't have a lot of personal time. And I just got myself into this kind of funk where I was in this critical cycle of just waking up, being kind of a robot and heading into work and almost being bitter about not pursuing what I wanted to do, even small little hobbies, because I would come home after I would drive an hour and a half and just be exhausted and not really have that kind of joy that I used to have. And so I knew that I needed to change something up, and actually found you through a Facebook group, and you helped me work through a lot of things that popped up that were interesting because they were all fear-based. And I realized that if I took fear away from the equation of making decisions, a whole different like world of options opened up.
You opened up so many of those options because you had it inside yourself to go to Hawaii. And I remember that being a really strong draw for you. How long had you been having that feeling before you decided to just act on that part of it?
My sister and I went on a trip to Hawaii the year before. And I don't know if you've ever been to a place where you kind of get off the airplane and you feel like you've arrived. And it's your home and you don't really know much about it, but it feels like home. And so I had one of those experiences when we visited Kauai, and I knew that I would be back, and I knew that I just had to figure out the logistics and how to make that work.
It's interesting because I think that there are a lot of folks that have that feeling, but they resist it. They go, yeah, okay, that's a pipe dream. But it wasn't for you. What made that different for you?
I knew that I was, if I just stayed in California, I was going to be depressed and remorseful and really just, you know, unhappy. And so I just decided to start looking into, you know, this beautiful dream of, oh my gosh, if I lived on the beach or if I could walk on the beach every day, how would I feel? How would I, you know, how would my life be different? And so I kind of made that illusion, just this vivid picture in front of me. And I really wanted to make it real. And so I started looking at houses and then I started looking at jobs and I slowly started to piecemeal this, you know, dream life together. And you know, looked for a backup job because I was worried that, you know, when I told my company that I was going to be moving to Hawaii, that they weren't going to be too keen on that idea. And so, funny enough that I found, you know, a small little consulting side job on Craigslist and got hired and started working simultaneously with my full-time job. And that kind of solidified, like, okay, this is possible now. And you can do this.
I so like how you approach this, because while we all have dreams at times of chucking the job and just starting all over, you went through this in a very process-driven way, but almost pragmatic, because you knew you had some basic things you had to take care of. So you kept the old job while you transitioned and worked both. And at what point did you say, okay, I can truly chuck the first job and move on? What was it that got you to that point?
I think there was just some points in my company where there was some internal transitions. And I'm sure everybody's had these moments with whatever they've done, but you have a day where you're like, this is not my job. And you just put your feet down and you really just kind of, you know, like, that's the last straw. And with a startup company, there's lots of demand. And, you know, and I'm definitely not the person that will raise their hand and say, no, this is not my job. But it was just after 4 years and all of the stress from commuting and transition, I just kind of had it. And so, and it was probably a month and a half into the consulting opportunity, and I realized that that was going to work. And so I had a walk around the building with my boss, and I told him, I said, you know, I just need to change things up for myself and have some more life balance, because I don't want it to affect what my working relationship is in the office. And right now it's not good. And so I needed to adjust that balance.
And that worked out for you. And I know that when we had talked so much, when you had gotten to Hawaii and you felt that weight off of your shoulders from the job and the stress, you started doing things you hadn't done for a while. As I recall, there was something about a stand-up board and paddling around the ocean and doing yoga. And those are things that you hadn't been able to do for a long time.
Yeah. When I moved out here, most people would probably scoff at the idea of getting up at 5 a.m. and working until 1 in the afternoon, but it was like heaven for me because I still needed to work Pacific hours. And so when I would just look forward to 1 p.m. every day because that was the end of my workday. And I would run around the park that I lived right by. I would take, you know, stand-up paddle yoga classes. I now all of a sudden had this free time in my day to explore all these hobbies that I kind of put on the back burner or on hold the last 6 years. And so I had this like newfound vision of what else can I do? Like, you know, a painting class or learn how to surf or, you know, like go and take, you know, cooking lessons in Chinatown. And so all of these different things just started to become so beautiful to me.
And at some point, you took it to the next level, and I follow your travels all of the time, but you turned into a world traveler. How did that happen?
I kind of, being in Hawaii gives it, most people think you're so isolated, and I look at it in a different light, where I'm kind of on this little launch pad in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, where I can go to Australia, I can go to Asia, I can go over back to the mainland and get to LA or San Francisco very easily. And I started looking at the dynamic here on how Hawaii has year-round tourism. And I was renting a house here and found out that, you know, if I wanted to rent out a room in my house or my house entirely, I could make a little extra money. And so that afforded me to travel. And I started getting just really curious. I'm like, oh, I've never been this close to Southeast Asia or Bali. And I really have always wanted to go to Bali. And so I figured out how to arrange vacation rentals out of my house to make that happen. And it paid for my whole trip. I was over there for 3 weeks. And if anybody, you know, has gone on an amazing vacation before, once you come back, you kind of get the travel bug and you're like, where to next?
And now, is that how you got involved with Airbnb?
Yeah, I was, you know, Hawaii is such a magical place, and you meet so many people that are here just on vacation. And I met a couple of friends that purchased some real estate investments, and they were running short-term vacation rentals and had Airbnb condos. And one friend in particularly had a really good system. And so I had, you know, coffee with her and talked to her about how she got it set up. And I made that a goal. As soon as I, you know, had that conversation with her, I said, you know, within the next year, I'm going to buy a condo here. And one reason, to make sure that I always have a place here. So if I end up ever moving away, I know that I've got real estate in Hawaii that would keep me coming back there. But also because I have, you know, a entrepreneurial kind of background, and I knew that I had a little faith in myself that if she was able to pull off, you know, doing this, then I definitely would be able to handle it. So that was kind of the start of that.
So it makes sense, as you're in Hawaii, that's become your home base, but you ended up in Vietnam too, and you've got an Airbnb in Vietnam plus Austin, Texas.
Yep.
How did you branch out to these places where you'd really never, or well, especially Vietnam, how did you manage to set up an Airbnb there?
So I went on a trip to the whole country of Vietnam, and I was traveling from the north all the way down to the south, and landed in a place called Hoi An, which is right in the central coast of the country. And it's not a very popular touristy type of town. It's a secret gem. It's a UNESCO protected town. They have rice paddies like Bali. They have white sand beaches like Hawaii. And it's just this little gem of a place where you walk through the streets at night and there's these silk lanterns and music playing as you're walking through. And if you're a foodie, it's one of the best places on earth to go try different types of eclectic food. And I literally stepped foot in that town and I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to, you know, keep coming back here, because it just, I had this really great feeling, kind of similar to Hawaii when I moved there. And I've always wanted to see if I could start a business overseas and manage it from wherever I was. I actually created this little Instagram page called I Work Where I Want, and it was almost out of my rebellious act of, you know, I don't need to be a FaceTime person in the office. I can still produce and accomplish whatever I need to, you know, from wherever I'm at in the world. And so I started looking into the cost of, you know, what would it cost for an expat to, you know, buy a place here or rent a place and start a business. And I found that Vietnam is very affordable, just like other parts of Southeast Asia. And found a great Vietnamese partner, and she's my manager for the Airbnb there, and just decided to go for it. I was coming out of a really bad breakup, and I, you know, needed something as a distraction in a sense, and I knew that I could, you know, pour a lot of energy into making the building and the business great. And so I was over there 6 or 7 times last year, getting it set up, but now it's kind of on autopilot where I can manage everything from my phone.
Oh my goodness. Our audience is listening to this and going, okay, she's living the life of my dreams, to be able to, okay, manage your businesses and your income because everything is on an app on your phone, not going to that office and having the stress that you had. But you said the same thing about this town in Vietnam. Tell me that name again.
Hoi An, H-O-I-A-N.
So you had the same feeling when you got there as when you got off the plane in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, you know, for, and Dylan, who is our producer, just is about to move to Portland. He said the same thing. I felt the same way about Portland when I got off. And that, those are things that so often we don't pay good attention to. And you've now done that in a way that allows you to live the life that you want to live. And you are relatively young in the scheme of things. So you're doing this while you can still enjoy your entire life instead of when you're at the point of, yeah, I'm going to retire because I'm getting older. So that's got to make you feel pretty darn good.
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of unraveled this new conscious level of myself where, like what you were saying, I paid attention to the feeling that I got. And the more I've done that, the more of a clear direction it allows me to just, you know, accept what's coming towards me rather than try to, you know, calculate it or be super proactive. And I think that when I pay attention to those types of situations as they come up, it's just a different view entirely of how, you know, like it's a different optimistic feeling, I think.
You're inspiring a lot of people. So tell me, your sister has been a travel mate with you a lot, and it sounds like she is probably one of your greatest supports. How does the rest of your family feel about this new lifestyle?
They love it. It's kind of a joke in our family. Instead of asking, like, how are you? The first thing they ask is, where are you?
And you've traveled the world. So it's really nice that you have that support behind you. Does your family, your sister travels with you all the time. Do you ever bring the rest of your family with you?
Yes. My sisters come with me on a couple of trips, but when I was setting up the business in Hoi An in Vietnam, my dad came with me on one trip and then my mom came with me on another. And I was very proud of them because they haven't traveled very much internationally and was a little concerned because my dad is very old school and he doesn't adapt well to new experiences. He gets a little thrown off. And one example was he doesn't know how to use chopsticks. And so I was pressing him a little bit on how, okay, they don't really have forks and I don't know how to ask for a fork in Vietnam. So as he was getting ready to go on our trip, he bought a foldable fork that he could put in his pocket to take with him. So wherever we went to eat, he was prepared. So that was really cute. And my mom came with me on another trip, and she, I told her, I said, Mom, you know, haggling and bargaining for purchasing things here is kind of normal, and it's not a bad thing. And so I was teaching her how to negotiate prices for when she was shopping in the market for some clothes. And she came back one day into the shop and she was so proud how she got all these deals. And she told me the original price and then what she negotiated down. And so those were just such fun experiences with my parents that I don't think I would have had the opportunity to live through, you know, if I hadn't had the business over there.
Well, of course. And you know, it's interesting to hear you say that you have the support and these wonderful experiences with, you know, especially parents. Our parents are pretty traditional in the scheme of things for the most part. And to introduce your parents to such new and wonderful adventures as they're, you know, in a different stage of their life, that had to feel pretty good for you too.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. I mean, look at, like, my parents will never forget their trips there. And I still have this vivid, you know, visual of my mom on the back of a motorbike in Vietnam. And she had the time of her life. And so seeing her in that kind of light and being so, you know, happy is something I'll never forget.
It's almost as if your parents become your friends at that stage of their life, and that's a very different place to be for most of us. Well, what's next for Kate?
Oh, that's a good question. I've been doing some Airbnb kind of recon, in a sense of looking into the business. I've got, I've had six listings over the last 4 years, six different properties, and I'm currently managing four. And I've noticed just through my own experience being a host in different markets, there's a couple opportunities for some products to be developed to support vacation rental hosts. And I have thought of this through my own trials and tribulations. And so I'm looking at developing an insurance product that would help short-term vacation rental hosts. And I'm also looking at some other real estate opportunities over in Europe. And so I'll be heading over there this summer again.
It's, you know, you truly have, and I know I introduced you this way, you have traveled the globe and you've found these places, you know, be it the United States or be it Vietnam, you found these places that called to you. If you look at the places that you've been, what other place is calling to you?
Oh, I want, one of the places on my list this summer is to go to Portugal and Morocco. Mainly because I have gotten into this kind of little decor habit now with my properties. And so I look at Moroccan rugs and pillows and want to go shopping there more than anything. But since I've traveled, I've learned that like kind of the lifestyle and the way, you know, that people carry on throughout their day. And it's just fun to people watch. And, you know, I've traveled around Southeast Asia and around the U.S. a ton, but I've never really gone over into kind of like Africa, Spain, Portugal area. And so I just want to see like the culture over there and, you know, experience that.
As you're traveling, do you often travel alone?
50% of the time I do. And then 50% of the time I'll have a family member or friend with me.
So I'm curious, when you're traveling alone, because I think that, you know, a lot of us that are single, so to speak, and look at traveling alone, how do you get past the, okay, I don't know what I'm going to encounter and how do I be safe in this travel?
Sure. I'm part of a group on Facebook called Girls Love Travel. They've got like 250,000 members in the group. And that has been such a fantastic resource for me. So much so that you can write where you're traveling to and see if other people want to meet up with you just to have coffee or dinner. So that's been fantastic because there's a couple times where I've been in Belgium or Ireland and, you know, I had a day or two to kind of sightsee and just posted something within the group. And I met up with some girls that were also traveling through and we had dinner and now they're like friends I'll have forever, wherever I travel to. So that was a great resource.
And what was the name of that group again?
Girls Love Travel.
Okay. And, you know, those are resources that most of us don't know about. But when you look at, because I see you as being very courageous in going out and going way past everything that you ever knew in corporate America and, you know, living the traditional life. But you found these resources and you make these resources to help others. So while we're talking about that, you also became a number one best-selling author about your book, Five Templates to Master Short-Term Rentals, Tools You Need to Streamline Your Guest Interactions. So you're truly pouring your heart and soul into the Airbnb concept. And tell me why you wrote that book.
I had a friend. I was sitting and having coffee with him in Austin after I finished getting my house ready. And he was asking, you know, like, how do you keep track of all the guests coming and going and you're in Austin and you have places in Hawaii and there's Vietnam. Like, how are you able to do all this without being on your computer all day? And so I showed him some of these templates that I created just for my own like peace of mind. So I wasn't having to write individual responses to all of these inquiries coming in. And he's like, Kate, this is fantastic. You need to share this with other people. And, you know, there's a way to monetize this. And you should just write an ebook and see if people, you know, if people bite at it. And I was like, oh, no, I've never written a book. I don't know the first thing about that. I have no idea how to. And he goes, you can go on, you know, Kindle and it walks you through everything. And we got to a point in the conversation where he was like, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it and put your name on it. And so then I was like, okay, fine, I'll look into it. And it's actually fairly easy to write a book. And there's tons of resources through Amazon Kindle or through Barnes & Noble Nook or Create Space that literally give you step-by-step on how to format your manuscript. You know, you can create it in different types of formats, whether an ebook or a hard copy. And it was really fun to learn about it and also to, you know, figure out which category your book fit in. And it was just a new challenge for me, and I just dove in. And wow. I wrote the book in 30 days, I think, only because it had a lot of the content already. But it was a really fun new type of project to take on.
Awesome. Well, Kate, we've made it to the end of the show, and I want to thank you for being here just to inspire me and our entire audience to, when you're ready and your dreams are calling you, just to listen. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Cheryl. Great chatting.
Okay, this is Cheryl Maloney with Simple Steps, Real Change. You've been listening to Kate Yanoff, the world traveler and truly an inspirational woman when it comes to changing your life. So have a good week every week. We'll see you all next time.